to move to item 11. We're all set.
This is a deja vu moment. I had a couple times over the course. I was supposed to be sleeping.
I thought
night.
We had this all fixed.
Good morning, Board Chair and fellow board members. Doug Cushman, a senior engineer and the non-point source unit chief for the Long Regional Water Board. Today I'd like to talk about some potential updates to the 2009 timber waiver. I will start the...
I'll see if I can get it working while you're talking.
Brief discussion of the regulatory background, the issues we're hoping to improve, and our schedule to go with that. Slide. Initially, the regulatory framework for the timber waiver, the State Water Board adopted a non-point source pollution prevention strategy in 2004 that requires the regulation of non-point source pollution through prohibitions, waste discharge requirement permits, or waivers of waste discharge requirement permits. The California Water Code allows for the conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements, and enrollees must meet all of the conditions of such waivers. The waiver must further include monitoring to verify that no significant environmental impacts occur that threaten water quality. Legislation enacted in 2013 stipulates that consumer fees from the retail sale of lumber products shall be the funding source for forestry activity program regulation in California. That pertains to the water boards, both the state and regional water boards, CAL FIRE, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and California Department of Geologic Survey. Project implementers do not pay any fees associated with permits or forestry activities in California. That's part of the legislation that was enacted in January of 2013. The Lahontan Regional Water Board funding for forest activities program did not increase with that legislation. However, our work with that has. We have new reporting requirements back in the legislature and also reporting requirements to the State Water Board on the efficacy of our protection measures in this program. The modifications to the timber waiver that I discussed today are intended to streamline the permitting process for project implementers and to improve Water Board staff ability to efficiently report the program's success at protecting water quality. Three improvements we hope to address in an update to the timber waiver are related to operable soil conditions, slash piling, and monitoring and reporting program. For the first two items listed on this slide, staff proposes to move from a prescriptive approach to a performance-based approach in regulating how timber harvest and vegetation management projects are implemented. This is based on staff professional judgment, feedback from project implementers, and relevant scientific research that has been conducted during the tenure of this current waiver. Key changes are related to soil conditions for operations, slash piling and burning, and Tahoe Basin SEZs, and modifying the long-term reporting program to more efficiently address public disclosure, reporting requirements, and project implementer needs. With regard to operable soil conditions, the 2009 timber waiver identifies specific ground conditions that must be present and specifies detailed procedures that must be used before mechanized equipment can be operated off of roads and within sensitive lands. The current standard of dry soils to a depth of 12 inches has the potential to shorten the non-winter period operating season in both the spring, summer, and fall. Our proposal is to update the timber waiver with a performance standard that prohibits visible soil deformation that results in ruts that exceed a specified depth and length over a certain percentage of an area. The potential change to a performance-based criteria that mandates that operations halt when surface soil compaction and rutting occurs is intended to increase efficiency while providing equal water quality protection during operations. Current practice is for project implementers to dig a hole, scrape away the surface stuff, get down below the surface soil, and pull up a sample of soil and squeeze it to determine how moist and cohesive and subject to compaction that soil is, and then to compare that to a detailed chart to figure out which kind of soils have which kind of cohesive properties and would be subject to significant compaction that could result in altered hydrology, increased runoff, and increased erosion potential. Practitioners, we call this the squeeze test, and it's been very problematic over time, as it requires a soil scientist or a resource specialist to do it. There's tremendous variability from this spot to the back of the room to an acre away, and so it's very staff intensive in getting this. It's somewhat subjective. It takes soil scientists a significant amount of training to be very well calibrated on what will happen with a loam as opposed to a sand, as opposed to a more organic soil. We feel that a performance-based approach that has highly easily detectable visual observations is more practical for everybody and will lead to equal water quality protection with more efficient implementation. The details on what the compaction and running standards are will be determined through stakeholder engagement and literature review as we move forward. The second item we'd like to address in improving the timber waiver is to focus on slash piling and burning in Tahoe Basin SEZs. And I will ask everybody to note that top photo on the left is not an SEZ. That is up in the Tahoe, up in the Angora Fire area. It's an interesting photo. It was taken in October 2011. It does give some extent, a visual extent. It's a great photo. Gives a visual extent to how pervasive these piles are. The pile on the right is a Tahoe Basin SEZ, in a Tahoe Basin SEZ, and let's focus on the orange that you can see on the ground. Those are recently created piles. They will cure for a little while prior to being burned and creating a situation a little more like what's up on the left, top left. Slash piling and burning was not allowed in the Tahoe Basin prior to the adoption of the 2009 timber waiver. The 2009 waiver included a prescriptive approach allowing the practice that focused on pile size and the percent coverage of an SEZ with piles. The waiver was silent on SEZ response to pile burning, and so a performance-based approach will be focused more on the persistence of burn scars within the treatment area and the vegetative recovery of that and the recovery of the function of the stream environment zone. The current waiver also requires that basin plan prohibition exemption be granted outside of the timber waiver enrollment process. When the Water Board adopted the 2009 waiver with this requirement, the activity had not previously been allowed, and there was therefore no research to justify enrolling and granting the exemption at the same time. The CEQA document that was certified by the Water Board in 2009 included a description of design features that should be considered for incorporation into piling and burning projects to ensure that no significant environmental impacts will occur. Pile burning has the potential to burn up the native seed base that's underlying that pile, and excessive soil heating also has the potential to sterilize the soil in that area. Recent research indicates that the composition of the pile, rather than the size, is the most influential issue driving soil heating, and that bigger logs would tend to burn for longer and increase the duration of the heat pulse. Research has also shown that post-burning management measures might influence, or do influence, the length of time for vegetative recovery of the burn scar. The Basin Plan Prohibition Exemption granting is a discretionary action by the Water Board, however, it does involve a significant staff time. Our desire is to update the timber waiver to require that protection measures are incorporated into the timber waiver enrollment process, and then to grant automatic basin plan prohibition exemption during that enrollment. This will significantly improve water board utilization of staff resources and also provide project implementers and the public an increased level of certainty of what requirements are associated with pile burning in Tahoe Basin SECs. The third key update that we hope to address is to allow is to address the monitoring reporting program and increase staff efficiency in reporting back to the legislature. The 2009 timber waiver allows for waiver enrollees to submit the required monitoring information using either the board adopted monitoring forms in the 2009 waiver or in a different format provided the same information is included. Assembly Bill 1492, that 2013 legislation I mentioned, requires project-level reporting to the legislature on the Forest Activities Program by regional water board staff. During the last 5 years, some waiver enrollees have submitted information, monitoring information, at a programmatic level rather than at a project level. Other enrollees have submitted very complex spreadsheets that analyze multiple projects throughout the region and require a higher level staff analysis to tease out the information we need. It's not been an efficient use of staff resources. While the timber waiver itself is in its fourth iteration, starting in 2003, and has improved every time, the monitoring requirements were initially implemented in the last iteration, in 2009. This update in 2014 will be the first effort at modifying the monitoring reporting program for the timber waiver. Staff will engage with project implementers and stakeholders to ensure that the updated monitoring forms will result in increased efficiencies for all involved parties. Staff plan to have multiple outreach sessions with stakeholders in the coming months to get input on revisions to the 2009 timber waiver. These outreach sessions will be conducted throughout the region, up in Lassen County, Susanville area, in the Truckee Tahoe area, and also in the southern portion of the region. Stakeholder input will be considered as the timber waiver is revised, and a proposed 2014 timber waiver will be circulated for public comment prior to staff bringing the timber waiver in front of you for public hearing and adoption. We hope to do that at the April 2014 board meeting here in South Lake Tahoe. If you have any questions, I'd be very happy to answer.
Thank you. I think before we go to questions, we have two people who indicated they'd like to speak to the agenda item, and then we can have questions for everybody as appropriate. First is Kathy Murphy.
Good morning. Kathy Murphy, staff
officer here on the Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit, here representing the United States Forest Service. We've had some preliminary discussions with the Lahontan staff on this update, and we feel very good about it. We think that in the areas of soil moisture and pile burning in particular, that the proposed changes will not only be more efficient for Lahontan, but they will be more efficient for us and other implementing agencies. For the monitoring, the Forest Service has an established BMP-EP monitoring program that's institutionalized, then being adopted nationally, and we are very interested in keeping that as part of the monitoring. And we know that we'll have the opportunity during the stakeholder meetings to have those discussions and feel pretty positive that any issues that are brought before us, that we will be able to resolve those with Lahontan staff. That's it.
Thank you. Martin Goldberg.
Morning. Martin Goldberg with the Lake Valley Fire Protection District, and honored again to speak in front of you all today. Some of new faces, and it's a pleasure meeting you this morning as well. Director. As I said, representing Lake Valley Fire Protection District, my program recently incurred a significant cost overrun while pulling slash from an SEZ. We believe simple steps taken post-burn can mitigate any damages in the SCZ. These updates and improvements are welcomed. We favor the shift from a prescriptive-based regulations to performance-based criteria. We look forward to the participation in the development and the stakeholder meetings. Anytime we can move from a collaborative environmental management, anytime we can move to more collaborative environmental management versus centralized planning and command and control regulations have always been where I favor, and I believe you've all heard that from me before. So just reiterating it, and thank you, and I welcome the changes.
Thank you. Questions or comments, Mr. Dias?
I thought the presentation was very straightforward and clear. Appreciate it. I have one question.
I
just one question, and that is the reporting requirement. I can see where we're heading, which is to try to avoid the entry of data more than once. That we would like whoever has the permit to be the person, persons who enter the data, and we simply take it and insert it into our database. I assume that's where we're heading for that.
There's a trend towards electronic data management and getting into more of a paperless format statewide, I believe. And this, we, as we update our monitoring forms, we would be cognizant of that and trying to make sure that happens.
Thanks.
Ms. Cox.
I am a huge fan of the performance approach. I think it gives much more flexibility to the regulator as well as those regulated, and I'd like to see it implemented in our policies to the extent possible.
Mr. Jardine.
I totally agree. I am a fan of performance-based and simplification and efficiency on the part of board staff. Let's take care of the environment. I'm in support.
Dr. Horn.
It all sounds good. I have a question for Mr. Goldberg, if I may.
Yes.
So my question is, I'm just curious how this would work on the slash piling and burning in SEZs. How a person who is burning a pile in real time, how would you know whether there would be some performance-based problem down the line, scarring of the soil? Or
we're relying on the research and pushing the research. Forestry practices are being developed for piling in SEZs. There have been, and Doug can speak to it as well, more so, but there has been evidence shown that, for example, pulling in the duff layer and the organic matter on top of the burn piles can certainly enhance the growth of vegetation in those burn pile scar areas. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're looking for and the changes that are to be made are, what's it look like 2-3 years out? And if we can get significant growth 2 or 3 years out, then that is certainly the aim and the goal. There have been other measures looked at, and that's what we want to follow, and that's how we see that going with performance-based, we can meet those in the end. Mm-hmm. And as far as during the pile, the burning of the pile, I mean, certainly, you know, when we make piles, there's a lot of inconsistency. It's hard to say how it's going to burn, how hot it's going to burn, but we certainly look to make changes if we can. But something like pulling the slash out of an SEZ is just labor-intensive, cost-prohibitive. It was so difficult on my crew, but making some minor changes in the mitigation side, I think we can do that, and we're pushing the science on it.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again. What I've seen all day today really is some really excellent work that shows that we've got the ability to learn from our experience and to translate that learning into what looks like it's going to be more effective, easy to understand approaches to the tasks that we have to do. Thank you for your work and presentation. This is the last meeting in this calendar year, so thank you to all of the staff for your year's work. Excellent work under really difficult and trying conditions. I wish you, the board wishes you happy holidays and a good holiday season, and we will see you in January, and the meeting is adjourned.